This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Hi, I'm Wayne McPhail, and I was one of the people that originally started the Rabble Podcast Network, and I think that you should support the Rabble Podcast Network and Rabble.ca because there's no other place where you're going to get such a diversity of voices speaking truth to power.
The Rabble Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Show your support by going to www.rabble.ca/donate.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
Site C is a proposed 60-meter-high dam and hydro generation project on the Peace River. It would create a 77-kilometer-long reservoir and flood about 5,500 hectares of agricultural land southwest of Fort St. John. It would also submerge 78 First Nations heritage sites, including burial grounds and places of cultural and spiritual significance. Logging and land clearing for the dam began this summer without the consent from Treaty 8, but major construction on the dam is not yet underway. Ben Parfit is a resource policy analyst with the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives. He joins me on the phone this morning from Victoria to talk about the Site C Dam. Hello, Ben.
Hello, James.
Give us, first of all, some sense of the scale of the work that's going on right now at the site of the proposed dam.
Well, there's been a very large area of land cleared on both sides of the river near the dam site in preparation for dam construction. There is a major area of land on the north side of the river that has been flattened in preparation for a workers' camp. There is dredging activity that has been occurring in the river to build a road bed that will run along one bank of the river to allow for heavy equipment to move in and out. So there's been a significant amount of development to date. Most of it, however, has been in the form of forest clearing and land clearing. There has been no construction activity of any kind to this point and won't be for some time to come.
And I understand, too, that the dredging in the river, that affects the fish habitat, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, without question. I mean, this project will have very significant impacts as it develops on fisheries resources. And I think it's important for listeners to understand that this is the third dam, or would be the third dam on the Peace River. There's already two other major hydroelectric dams in place, the first and the biggest, of course, being the WAC Bennett Dam, which created the largest reservoir in the province and one of the largest in North America. And there have been profound impacts from the creation of that dam on fisheries resources and on wildlife, a species like moose, for example.
When is the actual construction of the Site C Dam expected to start, do you know?
Well, there are several things that have to come into play before that happens. There are further permits that are going to be required from the federal and provincial governments. There is a lot of work that is required to get equipment into place that will move the hundreds of thousands of tons of fill that are going to be required to build the dam. So this is a project that is going to take many, many years to complete. We're looking at a long time horizon that is approaching about 10 years.
You say that we don't even need the power that the Site C will generate. Could you explain that?
That is one of the most damning things about this particular project. Let's not forget that this is the single most expensive mega project in provincial history. It's at $9 billion roughly right now at estimated cost. And if we consider cost overruns at other major hydroelectric facilities in around the world, typically those projects have cost overruns approaching 70%. So this is a project that could easily cost taxpayers and hydro ratepayers, in the order of $12 billion. And the troubling thing is that by BC Hydro's own reporting, we will not need any of that power for a considerable period of time to come, as far out as 2028. And really, the only reason that one could conceivably need the power that this dam would provide is if you looked at scenarios in which there was a major expansion in natural gas industry activities in the province. That is the only reason, according to BC Hydro, that we really need to see this dam built.
Would changes in commodity prices in the future, would that also have an effect on whether we need the power in 2028 and beyond?
Absolutely. It's a great question. I mean, one of the major planks of the Liberal government in the last election was that it was going to see the creation of a liquefied natural gas industry in the province. Since the 2013 campaign, we've seen a continued slide in natural gas prices, and it is looking less and less likely with each passing day that a company like Shell or a company like Petronas is going to make the multi-billion dollar investments that are required to build LNG facilities in the province. So if you take LNG out of the equation, there really is no compelling need to build this particular dam. And, of course, commodity prices, as we all know, are extremely fickle. We could see continued slides downwards in gas prices for some time to come. So there are huge question marks hanging over the assumptions that BC Hydro and the provincial government have used going into this project. And I think it's really incumbent upon the province to explain to the taxpayers of the province why this project is needed and to provide evidence to show that it is something that is in the public good. And I believe that if all the facts are put on the table, taxpayers and ratepayers are going to have some very significant questions about of the government about this particular project.
What about increases in power generation from renewable energies? Is that taken into account?
No, I think that's the troubling thing about this particular project, is that Hydro seems to have gone out of its way to cook the numbers in favor of power from Site C by suggesting that the alternatives, wind power, for example, are exceedingly expensive. And in fact, what has been shown by analysis done by an independent U.S. economist who has a great deal of expertise in power generation is that the costs of renewables are extremely favorable. And I think one of the things that we ought to be concerned about here is that we're essentially betting the farm on hydroelectric power with, you know, proposing to build a third dam on the Peace River. We're really putting all our eggs into one basket. And that, I think, is quite troubling from a public policy perspective. We know from reports in academic journals that there are mounting problems in terms of power generation worldwide from hydroelectric facilities due to increases in droughts, for example. We've already had two significant drought periods in the Peace River region alone over the last 5 years. So it seems to me that a far smarter strategy would be to look at diversifying our energy portfolio, making a firm commitment to having more wind power generation in the province, trying to situate a couple of geothermal electrical plants, which we do not have in the province at this point, but where there is clearly a lot of potential for geothermal, and in major solar installations. And let's remember that the costs of solar and wind are continuing to go down all the time. The cost of building major hydroelectric dams is not going down. It is typically going up.
$9 billion, as you said, that's a staggering amount. And, of course, it could be even more, like $12 or maybe even $15 billion. Why is the government so insistent on getting this project built?
Well, I think that there's a couple of reasons. One is that if the power is produced, it may, provide the impetus for natural gas companies potentially making investment decisions with LNG. The other thing that is clearly happening in the North, and that is not really well understood by people in the South, is that there are significant transmission line extensions that are underway in the northeast of the province from the existing hydroelectric facilities on the Peace River. And those transmission line extensions are being built specifically. And again, this is coming from BC Hydro, for purposes of providing hydroelectric power to natural gas companies to power up their field operations. By my calculation, we're looking at something over $1 billion for three separate transmission line extensions, one of which is already underway significantly in construction and has cost us to date over $300 million, and two other transmission line extensions that would carry power far to the north of the Peace River. So the government and BC Hydro are actively working to provide power to remote natural gas operations to power up their field operations. And clearly, if those operations were to expand in future years, there might be a need for more power. So creating a new power source with Site C could be ultimately what is used to generate both power at natural gas field operations in the Northeast, and more importantly, if Petronas were to make a decision, for example, to build an LNG facility in Prince Rupert, to power that facility with electricity.
So basically, the government wants to create a favorable climate for LNG investment.
It certainly looks that way, and very clearly from BC Hydro's own calculations, the significant increase in power demand would come from an expanded natural gas industry in the province. That's the only thing that they are explicitly pointing to as the major source of increases in demand in the province.
Who's paying for all of this? The millions of dollars for the transmission lines and the $9 billion for the dam?
Well, ultimately, anybody using hydro is going to be paying for it. And, of course, what ends up happening with major projects like Site C is that cost gets spread among all ratepayers. So, you know, you and I and everyone else that flicks on light switches in their houses or powers up their computers or turns on their televisions is going to be paying for this. And we have to remember that hydro rates in the province are already poised to go up significantly over the next 5 years, irrespective of what happens with Site C. So I think that there's some really compelling questions that ought to be asked of the government and that the government should be compelled to answer. It was only yesterday that the energy minister, Bill Bennett, was on Global TV suggesting that we must get this project built and get it built on time so that ratepayers don't pay higher costs for their hydro. And I think that assertion is simply absurd. Again, independent analysis that was done on the Site C project by Robert McCullough, a respected U.S. energy economist, is that just a two-year delay alone in building Site C would actually save ratepayers $200 million. So I think that there's a lot of questions that the government needs to answer to with regards to this project, and I think it is no accident that the government appears to be extremely disinclined to do so because they have refused to submit the Site C project to the BC Utilities Commission for review, and they have applied to exempt two of the three transmission line extension projects that I just mentioned from review as well. They appear to be working as hard as they can not to answer questions about what the economic implications of this project will be for ratepayers and taxpayers in the province.
Why is the government wanting to exempt these projects from the review by the BC Utilities Commission?
Well, I think it's precisely because they don't want to open themselves to questions about whether or not the power is in fact even needed, and more importantly, to answer questions about what other alternative sources of power there might be and what the true costs of those power sources would be. I think that there is an evident need on the part of this government to try and get a major mega project underway, and that they are clearly intent upon doing that. It certainly appears at the dam site itself that BC Hydro is rushing to get as many shovels in the ground between now and the next provincial election as possible to try, I think, to force this issue to a point where no government would turn it down. I think that is what is going on, and I think that the provincial government is doing everything it can to encourage BC Hydro to expedite construction activity.
I'm curious to know, are companies like Shell and Petronas also contributing to any of this cost?
It's a very good question. One of the outstanding questions around the transmission line extensions is that one of the two projects that the government is attempting to exempt from BC Utilities Commission review would actually be built by a private consortium. So I have a number of questions about what exactly that means. Why would a private company be building a transmission line at a cost of $300 to $400 million to furnish power to Petronas when this government at this point in time appears to be doing everything it can in its power to lower costs for natural gas companies to try and compel them to make decisions to invest in LNG facilities? I think that there's just a huge array of questions that are hanging out there about the provincial government's relationship with companies like Shell and Petronas, and about the true cost of energy supply to these companies, what these companies would be paying for that power, et cetera. And again, I think that this is a good reason why we ought to be subjecting Site C and the related transmission line extensions to review by an independent watchdog like the Utilities Commission.
Premier Christy Clark was in Paris for the climate conference last month. What did she say about BC plans to fight climate change?
Very clearly, it looks like the Premier, assisted by a climate leadership team that she appointed, wants to try and convey the idea that creating power from a new dam like Site C is somehow a climate solution for the province, that the power that is produced from a hydroelectric dam is quote-unquote clean power, and that it can become part of the solution for climate change. The very troubling thing with Site C, though, is that if we're talking about providing the bulk of that power to the fossil fuel industry, then all we're doing is assisting the fossil fuel industry in expanding its activities. The government can argue correctly that by providing quote-unquote clean hydroelectric power to those operations, that they're making greenhouse gas emissions somewhat less worse than they otherwise would be. But it's inconceivable, if we go ahead with LNG in the province, that we don't have a scenario in which greenhouse gas emissions from the fossil fuel sector, for sure, are rising and rising dramatically. But the spin that's been put on this thing is that we use clean power from a new hydroelectric facility to offset emissions in the fossil fuel sector. And again, I think that that's extremely troubling. It's not a climate solution, in my opinion.
Well, it's been great to speak with you today, Ben. Thanks very much for coming on Red Eye.
Okay, and thank you so much for having me.
I've been speaking with Ben Parfitt. He's a resource policy analyst with the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives.